Okay, I'm Chaim, I'm a sexaholic.
We are up to step 10. I'm continuing to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. So basically, the simplicity of step 10. We continue to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, we promptly admit it, which basically is telling me that I'm still going to mess up a lot, which is the beauty of recovery. The beauty of recovery is this is not like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. You did it? How could you do that? That's so terrible. That's wrong. Like, oh my gosh, you know? And now you're bad. You're evil. You're wrong. You shouldn't have done it that way. It's not a religion. It's just the opposite. It's telling me, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. I'm going to screw up. You will make a mistake. You will make a mistake. You will make a mistake. You will mess up in your marriage. You will mess up with your children. You will mess up with God. I will mess up when I'm talking to people. I will say wrong things. I will say bad things. I'll say hurtful things. And when I do it, there's a way out. Just admit it. Just admit it. Just simply admit it. It's an unbelievable exercise. I found for myself that admitting it is such a relief. My whole life I walked around and I held on so tight. Don't tell me I screwed up. Don't tell me I'm evil. Don't tell me I'm bad. Don't tell me I could do better. Don't tell me. I would protect my pride. I would protect my ego, my image in the world, how people viewed me. Don't tell me I'm wrong. Again, the program is beautiful. You're wrong. You're wrong. Admit it. Finish. Just admit it. When I do that, the release, the comfort. We all take a minute and think about how much we have had conversations with people, wives, friends, relationships, proving one point. I'm not wrong. Deep down, throughout that half an hour of conversation, I know I'm wrong. But you can't know I'm wrong. So I will spend hours and hours of energy, of insanity, of knowing myself I'm wrong. I'm wrong. And the person who I'm convincing also knows I'm wrong. But I can't admit it. The beauty of step 10, the knowledge of I will make mistakes, and the knowledge of the only thing I need to do about that mistake is admit it. And then I'm free. I'm free. I don't have to hold on for dear life anymore. It is so comforting for myself to keep step 10 very simple. What I do is I don't take this huge inventories. I don't sit down by a candlelight and meditate and write throughout my day and bring God in. I don't do that. What works for me very simply is as I'm going to sleep at night, just quickly going through my day. Quickly. Scanning through my day. And sometimes I don't even do it at night. Like, for example, yesterday, I did it when I came home. I was feeling very just disturbed. Things would bother me, and I started to just go through my day, and I realized this was bothering me, this was bothering me, this was bothering me. And I realized that I screwed up here, and I messed up there. I picked up the phone. I called a guy in program. You know, I called somebody else to get a guy in the program's number to make amends to him by the barbecue because I retaliated to the guy. And just simply quick going through the day. Again, when that thought of, like, you're going to call your sponsee to get a number from a guy in program who hurt you to make amends to, it's like, this is like the furthest thing in the world. I would have spent the whole night saying why that guy's wrong. And he was wrong. Guy came over to me at our program, attacked me, made fun of me, and I retaliated. He was absolutely wrong. And the whole night I would have proved to myself how that guy is wrong and how that guy messed up. Instead, to admit it, to pick up the phone, call a guy, get somebody else's number, reach out to the person, to stop the whole fight, to stop this whole noise in my head. So last night I came home, made the quick inventory, called a guy, left him a message, he didn't answer, want to make amends. Called my sponsor simply and quickly and just told him, hey, this is what's going on, I need some help, and I don't know what to do about it. And what do you suggest? To simply admit my wrong. What a freeing experience. To be able to just, to be my work and have employees that, to be able to just tell them I was wrong. It is so freeing to be a boss and not have to walk around like, oh, like King Kong. To be a husband and not have to walk around with a pride of like, I'm the father figure of his home, like, you know, even if I'm wrong, I'm right, you know, Bentira, you have to give off an image of, to be able to just say I'm wrong, to be able to just admit it, to be able to just be right, to be able to just be happy, to be able to just be serene, to admit I am wrong, brings such serenity into the life. So again, a simple and basic tool works just like this. You wanna move over just a touch? Just to keep it simple and easy. Literally simple and easy. When I, again, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. Take inventory and admit it. But there's a key word over here which I really love, and it's called promptly. Promptly admit it. Now, why is it so important for me to do it right away? Because again, my old life, I would hold on so tight. Don't tell me I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong, you know I'm wrong, and everybody in the room knows I'm wrong, but I'm gonna prove why I'm right. And we all walk away knowing I'm wrong, including myself. And I feel like garbage, and you all know I'm garbage, because not only am I wrong, now I'm defending my wrongness, and I look like a total dope. And now what? That's the key word, promptly admit it. Don't rationalize anymore. That's what works for me. Don't go to a place like, yeah, but the guy was wrong. The guy attacked me at the barbecue, came over with me and he said very hurtful thing. Why do I need to call the guy to make amends? It's very simple, because when he attacked me, instead of me keeping my mouth closed, I retaliated. And I know I made him feel like crap. You know why? Because if you step on my toes, I'm going to make sure to make you feel like crap. It's very simple. So I'm wrong. I'm wrong. He's wrong for what he did, but I'm wrong. And then comes the next thing. If you call him to make amends, or if you call your sponsor to get his number, so then now it's your ego. Your sponsor's going to see you work in the program, and then this guy's going to see. Promptly admit it. Don't use your brain. Brain gets shut off. One way or another, my brain's going to tell me why he's wrong, why don't make the phone call. At the end of the day, promptly admit it. Don't think. I screw up, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. This is what I will do different next time. I was wrong for retaliating like that. Simple, to the point, promptly. What that does is, it makes me just happy. So step 10, the gifts from God. The gifts, the literal hand-given gifts. Gift number one. I'm going to screw up in my life. I don't have to worry anymore. I don't have to walk in this perfect line. Chaim, you will make more mistakes today, and you will promptly admit it and live a happy, joyous life. So simple, so peaceful. It's peaceful. I don't have to walk around with this like, yeah. Simple gift. I could go to sleep happy. I don't have to go to sleep. Oh my God, this guy did this, and you know this guy, and he owes me an item. It's a gift from God. I could just be happy. Big deal. So what? A gift from God, I could process it and be content inside. And a gift from God, I could promptly admit it. I don't have to mentally masturbate over it for the next weeks. You know those feelings like when you know you messed up? So for weeks, you've convinced yourself that, no, I'm good, and it's that guy's fault. And for weeks, I pain myself over the fact of knowing that I messed up. Convincing myself that, no, I'm okay. As opposed to promptly admitting it. What a gift. What a simple, easy, calm gift. And that's the beauty. That's the 10th step. At night, throughout the day, a quick encounter with somebody. Hey, what's my part in that? Hey, what's my part in that? Hey, what should have I done different? Hey, maybe next time I'll do it a different way. boom, I could admit it, I could walk free, I could stand free. My sponsor used to tell me in early recovery, I used to walk into every meeting basically like this. And I did it for literally like a year and a half. And my sponsor used to look at me, and as I'm walking into the meeting, he used to go, head up, head up, head up. Never was able to walk with my head held high. How could I lift my head? So much shame, so much guilt, so much self-questioning myself of but I'm a man, but every guy does this, but it's my wife's fault, but what do I need to even be here for? But of course I need to be here, but that guy doesn't even, he's not even from, so like I'm going to be around, not, all the questioning of my, admit it, lift my head, look the world in the eye, and stand free. All the steps, the way I view the steps and what the steps have done for me in the course of my life is, think about it. It goes back to step one. Am I a sexaholic? Am I not a sexaholic? How many times do we mentally masturbate over the fact of, am I a sexaholic or not? I didn't come to program for 2 months because I wasn't even sure if I am a sexaholic. I stayed sober, not coming into program, for 2 months in order to convince myself that I'm not a sexaholic. Then I come to program, and then it's like, oh, power greater myself. I'm a bentire. I know a power greater than myself. Everything is a fight. Every step to give my will over to God. Who doesn't give his will over to God? I could give a vada on giving over will to God. Everything is like a fight and a fight. And step four, everybody resents me. I resent them. They hurt me. I hurt them. I hurt them. They hurt me. Fears. The same stupidity of the fears. You know, like, you know how the world hurt. Everything I'm fighting and fighting. Step 10, admit. Admit. Promptly. Stop the whole back and forth and back and forth. What I did. Admit. And the gift that God gave me and gives all of us through the 10 steps. The beauty. The simple beauty is I'm always like squashed down. And I feel like absolute crap and garbage. My pants is wet. Not from urine, but from masturbating. I feel like crap. My stomach hurts. I'm sitting there. You know, a feeling of leaving after 3 hours of porn or 5 hours of cruising. The utter self-hate. Only one could know. Only we could know. That just feeling of like, that tissue. You know the feeling of that tissue? Like, ugh. You know when it gets on your pants, you can't get it off type of thing? Like, just that bleh, only we could understand that bleh. And God, through the steps, just lifts us up one level, two levels, three levels, four levels. By the time we're up to step six, we're free. Step seven, step eight, we become alive. And I know that feeling of being like a newcomer, looking at people that have that gift and are happy, joyous, and free, and it's like, F them. It's like, how dare you walk around so calm and content and happy? How dare you while I'm dying here a miserable death? So there's two ways we could go about it in program. Now, as an addict, I picked the way of rather saying, how dare you, and F you, and therefore I'm going to go act out. And I've done that in program. I've done that. And the big book warns of that. Living a happy life or a life of hell is a hard decision for an addict to make. He tells us that we don't understand how to make this healthy decision. Living on a plains of hell, basically. I forgot the language. Yeah. So the reality, the simple reality of being able to admit. Admit the freedom of being able to admit instead of saying F that old timer, F the guy that has really what I want, but I can't admit that I want what he has, so instead I'm going to knock him, or I'm going to knock others, I'm going to feel resentment, to walk over to the guy and say, you know, I want what you got, give it to me, help me, I'm dying, I'm confused, I don't know what to do. To admit, it is so hard still today. I'm an addict till today. Last night, I'm going to call my sponsor. What is my sponsor going to tell me that I don't know? I'm going to admit to my sponsor that I messed up, and he's going to give me guidance on what exactly. To simply admit,
to get the guidance, to take the actions, to live happy, joyous, and free. The gift of step 10. The gift of step 10. It's very important. I would really recommend one of the best readings I've ever read in the program is step 10 in the white book. It's mind-blowing. Really mind-blowing. Sober is not well. It's one of the chapters. Hell yeah, sober is not well. Program of living, a new habit. But there's one thing I want to emphasize over here, which is so important. I'm the key. The last chapter. If there's ever a reading that saved my life like 100,000 times, and the most important reading possibly that I found in this program is I'm the Key. It's on page 133, and I would really recommend everybody reading it slowly and carefully and meditating on it and reading it and reading it and reading it until it literally breathes out of you. It's basically a story of this guy who's sober, who had it. And he basically gives his wife an option. Either you shape up or you ship out. I'm sober. And you're the addict. You're misbehaving. You're out of your mind. And then he has this just awareness on a fishing trip where it's like, you know something? I'm the key. I'm the key. So I just want to expound on this. In program, I found for myself that until I get into the fiber of my being, that I am the key. I'm the key to a happy marriage. I'm the key to my children being content at home. I'm the key of ensure being calm with other people. I'm the key of, in a meeting, being happy, joyous, and free with the people around me, even if they're crazy. Or, for example, for myself at the barbecue. I'm the key. If I'm happy, joyous, and free, and you come into my party, two things could happen. You could change my party by making me miserable, by saying hurtful things, by knocking me. But if I'm the key, and if I'm happy, joyous, and free, no matter what you do, I'm the key, I'm happy, joyous, and free. I could take your negativity and transfer it into positivity, as opposed to taking your negativity and changing my attitude. I'm the key. For myself, walking into my home and saying, God, take away my character defects. I'm here to be useful to my wife, to my children. I became the key. I became the channel of happiness and contentness. If my children are misbehaving or acting up or hurting, I'm the key. They reflect me. If my wife is being a bitch, or in my brain she is, or my wife is not understanding me, or she doesn't want to have sex with me, I'm the key. And how do I know it? Because on a random Tuesday, I could come home, and my wife is acting one way, my children are acting one way, and on another Tuesday, I could come home, and everybody's happy, joyous, and free. Why? What I have found is because the first Tuesday that I came home and everybody's a wreck, I'm not spiritually fit. I'm coming into the house grumpy. I'm coming home drained. I'm giving off an attitude of fill my void. On the following Tuesday, I'm coming home giving and being a channel of love and being there for other people and helping out. I'm the key. When I admit my issues to my children, my house, I've shared this recently in a Friday night meal where I told everyone, remember when I admitted and I apologized to everybody and I messed up and so on and so forth? It became a happy home. I'm the key. I remember in early recovery, a guy said over this and it hit me like a ton of bricks. He said he came home on a Shabbos morning, you know, Saturday morning, and he walks into his house and everybody's happy and everything is great, and 15 minutes into the meal, the place is like a miserable wreck. His wife looks like crap. She's acting like, children are just climbing walls. And at one point, I got so angry. Like, why is God, what the hell? I'm home for 15 minutes and everybody's acting up. And I turned around to his wife and he's like, what's going on here? His wife is like, you came home. You came home. You created this insanity. Everybody was happy. You came home. And I know this for myself. I could come home and my house could be a tornado and flying. If I come home and I bring God, I bring spirituality, I bring forgiveness, I bring calmness, I bring contentness, I watch my children soar. We all have some children that are just those difficult ones. What I've done for my kids as a result of this attitude, what I've done with my wife, we went, me and my wife, to one of the biggest therapists, psychologist, therapist, slash, in the tri-state area for my daughter. She had an issue and we really needed to deal with it. And we sat by the therapist like for an hour and we paid that ridiculous amount of money that I'm sitting there every 30 seconds, you know? And basically her asking me my name is like $350. And I'm sitting there and like, you know? And towards the end of the conversation, she turns around to me and my wife and she's like, I've met thousands of couples in my life. I've never, ever met a couple like you guys. What you need to do is just continue what you're doing with your child. You are giving your child the skills of life. You're giving your child the therapy she needs. You're giving your child the healthiness she needs. You're giving your child the safety she needs. You're giving your child everything. And she said to me and my wife, regular families, regular couples, I would say you need to go to this therapist. You need to see twice a week this. You need to do this. You need to do this. You will create this child. And then she turned around to my wife and said, what do you do for a living? And I was like, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. We're like, you don't have degrees. You don't like, what's it called? And he turned around to me. It's like, so what degree do you have in what's it called, you know? And for me and my wife to look at each other and like, it was almost that feeling of like talking about amends, talking about God, talking about connection, talk about humility, talk about from manure comes fertilizer in the highest level. And the therapist did say that she needs to be left back, she needs to go to a private school and so on and so forth to deal with certain things that she needs to. And it's amazing. My wife came home a few nights ago and, you know, and the school said that she's ready to go back to a regular, you know, self-contained, a regular, out of a self-contained class into a regular class. This would never, ever happen. I'm the key. I'm the key emotionally. I'm the key mentally. And as Roy Kay says, I'm the key spiritually. Me and my wife have a one soul. If I'm watching porn and I don't tell her and come home, she feels it because she has my soul. So of course she's going to be in a bad mood and feel negativity. She's me, I'm her, in a spiritual sense. If I'm lusting on the street and I come home, she feels it by spirituality, by the course of the nature of the world. She feels it by the fact of we are in a committed relationship. At least she is. We're supposed to be. So it's not about do I share with my wife my action lust or not. It's shared by the existence of the world. By me being married to her. We are one. We are intuitively connected. The same way the negative energy could go into her through me lusting on the street, taking actions, by me coming to a meeting and being spiritual, the positive energy will go into her, into my children, into the people around me. Just by the existence, I'm connected. I'm connected to my Father. If I'm in a spiritual place, He's going to act towards me a different way. And even when He doesn't, if I'm in a spiritual place, I will connect. I will reconnect. And I will make something even greater happen here. Spiritually. Especially with my wife. Well, I'm the one that cut the relationship in half. I'm the problem. I'm the key to bring it back. with my children. We hear it in the program so much. My kids, my kids, my kids, my wife and my kids. Most shiurs and meetings are about my wife and my kids. I'm the key. I'm the key. It's not my child. It's not my kid is acting up, which therapist. It's not my kid is having issue, where do I go? Where do I go? I look in the mirror and I say, I'm the key. Not in a pressure way of like, oh my God, I gotta, blah, blah, blah. No. And you know how I know it works? First of all, it just worked by Ellie. He was miserable to pieces like a week ago. And in 24 hours, his whole life turned around. And his children, and his wife, and everybody. And it happened by the JSS, the convention we were just by, with five couples who were literally spoke to Rabbanim already to give divorces. And their lives changed around. And I'm in communication with them. They have sponsors now. They're staying sober. And their lives are coming together. And with tons of my sponsors, the same exact thing. And people I'm working with, I'm the key. I am the key. Because God wouldn't entrust in me my children if I cannot take care of them. I'm the key. Now, if it happens to be my kid ends up being God knows what, and my wife ends up, things happen. We know that. I'm not sitting here saying I'm responsible for my wife and my children. And it's not the responsibility. But I'm the key. I know I could go out tonight with my wife to a wedding. If I'm spiritually fit, she's gorgeous. I'm in love with her. I love the way she looks. I love everything about her. I'm connected emotionally. I'm complimentary. And we have a beautiful night. And if it ends with sex, it doesn't. If it doesn't end with sex, it doesn't. And we're happy, joyous, and free. If I'm in a bitchy mood, if I'm pissed, if I bring my issues of work home, if I bring my resentments home, if I bring my problems with other issues home, my wife doesn't look good. She's the problem. She's the cause. And how dare her not have sex with me after me doing everything that I do in and out of the house. I'm the key. If my kid had come, if I come home, my kid is crying and tangerining around the house and I know myself. When I'm in a spiritual fit place, my kid snaps out of it. Because I know I'm connected by the soul. He has my soul, I have his. We're united, we're one. When I'm in that spiritual place, I could get the kid out of it. Sometimes I can't, so I don't. But I feel it. There's a certain connection. There's a, I'm the key. The famous story I keep saying with my son, who's the artist. I was destroying this kid. I wanted him to be the basketball player. I'm the key. I pumped up his art. I pumped him up. He doesn't know what to do with himself. He's happy. He's confident. It makes me uncomfortable that he's so confident and he can't even play ball. Well, it makes me uncomfortable. How do you have so much confidence and you can't even play basketball so well? Like, where does the confidence come from? I'm the key. I'm the key to be happy, joyous, and free. And it starts by my house. It starts with my children. I could change the relationships. I could change the dynamics. I could change everything. It starts by me. And I think one of the most confusing and not clearly stated out in program is this idea with our children, in our marriages, in our relationship with God, in our relationship with the fellowship. There's so much dynamics in our fellowship, especially ours, with all the enmeshment, and I know your father and brother and sister and your brother, and once I met and I did a deal, and we're so enmeshionary. I'm the key. I'm the key to be content, happy, joyous, and free in all relationships, all over. You know how it happens? By admitting it. You know when? Promptly. That's it. It takes off all the pressure. It takes off all the anxiety. And we live happy, joyous, and free. And I'll end off with this. I'm telling you, if you come home with this attitude, in 1 week, you will be married to a different woman. In 1 week's time. By some people, it happens in 24 hours. You will be a father of different children. It's an inner, emotional, spiritual change of attitude. Of admitting promptly, of being humble, of asking God to remove the character defects, of talking to a wife from out of humility and contentness instead of out of entitlement and you don't understand. And when she's hurting and she's complaining and she's angry and she's resentful, it's only her being angry, resentful, hurting, and confused. I'm the key. Why is she sharing it with me? To tell her, yeah, you taka are a retard? Or for me to give her the confidence and build her up and tell her you're doing good and you are a good mother. And it's okay you didn't make supper the way you wanted it. It's okay that you... I'm the key. And the same thing with my child. In 1 week's time, this change of attitude, not only in our wives, with our children, with our parents, but in all our relationships, in all our relationships, there'll be a calm, content, happy, and peaceful type of life. That's what I got. Thanks.
Thanks, Lloyd.
I guess by the next...
question.
You have a quick question? It's late. Let's do it after. By the next talk, which will be Wednesday, I guess we'll...